It's time for the Newsmax Daily from Newsmax, America's fastest growing cable news channel. Now, here's your host, Rob Carson.
For all of the men's players in college basketball, if you didn't make it into the, you know, the Sweet 16 or the Final Four, or even didn't even get into the NCAA tournament this year, all you have to do, if, say, for instance, you're a junior this year, is to identify as a woman, play as a woman next year, and you could be in the Final Four. Because Leah Thomas went from 462nd as a men's swimmer, and then his senior year was coming. He's like, oh, my God, I haven't made my mark. I'm never going to be able to do this. Hey, I've got an idea. I still like women. I date women. I still have my my twigs and berries, you know, and all that stuff. But I think if I identify as a woman, I can compete as a woman like that weightlifter from New Zealand, and I can just go in and totally kick butt. And he did. And he did, and you call her she, whatever. Even my wife, who, you know, I love my wife, but she watches MSN, you know, and stuff like that. It gets her news from there. And she didn't understand, and she was immediately, you know, raising her eyebrow that I'd say, you know, I don't think that Leah Thomas should compete against women. But, you know, he's been through all of this, and he, you know, God, you know, probably had this internal struggle his entire life as a woman and all this, and then finally yesterday she goes, oh, yeah, he shouldn't compete with those women. I'm like, well, duh. But anyway, so that's what I think should happen if you didn't make it into the NCAA tournament. Maybe this is a way for my alma mater, Northwest Missouri State University, home of the Mighty Bearcats, who won the Division II men's team. If they wanted to compete in Division I, then all the players could just identify as women, play as women, and then they could be a Division I team. Maybe even win the championship for the women's Division I NCAA basketball championship. So there you go. Just some thoughts on my son going to KU and KU winning the national championship last night. We've got a ton of stuff that I need to get to. Joe Biden yesterday, I don't know if he meant to or not, but he said that for some reason, I'm still trying to digest, Joe Biden called Vladimir Putin a war criminal. I think this has to do a lot with flexing his muscle without actually doing anything. And that's big for Democrats. They want to try to instead of speak softly and carry a big stick or whatever, they speak with a big stick and walk around softly. I don't know. Anyway, you know what I'm saying. So we're gonna get into that. We're going to get into what's going on with Elon Musk buying a majority share in Twitter, which is delightful and delicious. I hope that something comes of it, but I know that a lot of people in Twitter are either quitting or they're just really kissing some major booty. So that's coming up. The dissolving of the border is happening. An unbelievable report coming from the border. What's coming up in May with the end of Title 42 and the absolute dismantling of our border and our sovereignty. That is a treasonous offense. Yes, I mean it. I'm not just saying it. A treasonous offense by the President of the United States, by the HHS Secretary. I want people to pay for this. Other than impeaching Biden, if Republicans assume congressional power after the midterms, they will also likely conduct probes into Hunter Biden's laptop, Joe Biden's relationship with corruption in China and Ukraine, and Dr. Anthony Fauci's role in funding the Wuhan lab in China. Those are all the things that are going to be pursued, hopefully, by Republicans, although I will mention that a lot of people that I talk to, they're very, very doubtful. And, you know, I don't blame them. But I'm hoping that they've gotten the message. But I know that you understand, and I understand your cynicism, to be quite honest. But I refuse to just throw up my hands and say that, you know, nothing can be done about it. You know, Washington, D.C., and this and that. Well, you know what? Donald Trump would have never been the president of the United States if that attitude ruled. But again, I do understand your cynicism after the theft of the election of 2020, and I do have some more information on that. It's going to blow your mind today. And I will say to those who continue to say, oh, yeah, you proved the election was stolen. I will say, prove it wasn't. And then I will give you a couple of examples of where the media was all in and all done, settled science with regard to Russia collusion. Although Hillary Clinton was fined by the FEC for colluding with Russia, the media that was all in on Hunter Biden's laptop being completely fake, now we know that was a gigantic lie They lied about Wuhan. They lied about masks. They lied about vaccinations. They lied about social distancing. They lied about school closings and business closings. And now they're saying, oh, yeah, no, but you could trust us on the election of 2020. It was perfect. You know what I say to that? I would say if you just use common sense and put two and two together, you realize that the 2020 narrative is also false. And it is a domino that will fall, and the Democrat Party knows it, and the mainstream media knows it, and they're clinging to any kind of power that they have to shut down control of the narrative. But it looks like we may have one of those narrative controllers, Twitter, being overtaken by someone who is not down with censorship. We know that the mainstream news media covered up on Russia collusion. It was a lie. Hillary Clinton was just fined for colluding and paying for the dossier. That was something that was carried by Rachel Maddow for 3 years. Where's she lately? Where'd Rachel go? We don't know where Rachel is. Where'd you, Rachel? Won't you come out and play, Rachel, now that your lies have been uncovered? Why don't you do that? You know, and then Hunter's laptop, which everybody knew was true. It was verified. It was verified by the New York Post. It was handed over by Rudy Giuliani. The FBI had it. Lost it. Uh-oh. Had to ask for another copy. Well, actually didn't ask for another copy. It was actually introduced by Matt Gaetz into the congressional record because they said the FBI lost it. The New York Times lost their copy of Hunter Biden's laptop, a hard drive, but they had to ask for it again. So you're being lied to left and right, and now you have enough information where you can say, really? Really? Well, what about this and what about that? You expect me to believe you now? When this happened and this happened, I would venture to say you have no, you are a hostile witness. That's what you are. You are a hostile witness. Here is the most recent unbelievable lie that was proven wrong. There was a debate about a 7-hour gap in phone call usage, in phone usage by Donald Trump on January the 6th, meaning that they erased it or he was using some sort of burn phones or whatever. And it was all proven absolutely false. It was another day in paradise in Washington, D.C., in the Oval Office, where some phones went through the switchboard and some went through cell phone calls. No evidence whatsoever. There was a 7-hour gap in the phone calls by Donald Trump on January the 6th. But here's what the media was saying last week.
The ghetto president that they thought Obama would be is officially Donald Trump. This dude is walking like he's Bodhi from The Wire with burner phones and erasing.
Say, is that that super racist host named Cross on MSNBC? Tiffany Cross?
Phone records.
Trump or someone in his administration appears to have actually tampered with the records.
These White House records are not just incomplete. The gap suggests staggering and potentially willful omissions.
7 hours?
It doesn't suggest anything. It suggests that not all the phone calls went through the White House switchboard. But you're inferring all of this.
Makes the 18 minutes of Oval Office tapes around Watergate look like a game of patty cake.
Donald Trump, a man who makes Richard Nixon look like a Boy Scout.
Donald Trump.
Oh, God, I hate similes like this. These are so stupid.
Trump makes Nixon look like a piker.
Donald Trump has acted like a mafia boss.
He didn't want a record of the calls. And what he was saying in those calls is anybody's guess.
There appears to be a real cover-up of who Trump was talking
about. No, not really, not at all. If you'd done a little investor reporting, you'd know that.
Two, while the mob was attacking and ransacking the Capitol.
Was he talking to people that were...
They haven't shown any of the video from inside the Capitol because they stayed within the velvet ropes and took selfies. Give me a freaking break. They opened the building 2 hours later.
And the Oath Keepers or some of the other rioters that were involved in this.
It looks like he made a decision. I'm going to take this offline for the next 7.5 hours.
I think we had Bob Woodward in here somewhere.
Hours. To me, that's really compelling evidence of his state of mind.
What this shows is he's staying out of sight in order not to have any record of what he's talking about.
Dishonesty and trickery. And of course, that...
You mean like what you've made a living out of the last, I don't know, 50 years?
Defines the Trump actions on this.
This is a very big deal. And it's
no, it wasn't a big deal at all.
It's more evidence of bad faith by Donald Trump.
I think the bad faith is coming from the media. So there you go. So every time that they, you know, maybe you're hanging out at a dinner party and you got a bunch of liberal friends. Well, what about Russia collusion? What about, you know, that election wasn't stolen? Let me just say, you know, well, this and this and this and this have all been proven wrong. So what makes you think that by quoting the Washington Post or ABC, CBS, NBC, PBS, PBR, whatever the hell you watch, what do you suppose, what difference is going to make? And how are you going to prove your point when they've lied to us about everything else? So there you go. Just gird yourself. Gird yourself for the next time some moron tries to act like Joe Biden is pure, that there's a driven snow, and that the media is on the up and up, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Joe Biden yesterday, you know, he said some very precarious things about Ukraine and Russia. First of all, he said that sanctions were going to stop Russia from invading, and then Russia invaded. Then he said that, oh, no, I never said that sanctions meant to keep them from invading Ukraine, but they're going to start hitting here pretty soon. Well, been a month and a half. Now there's genocide happening because Russians do this, by the way. Everybody's surprised. Like, oh, mass graves. Imagine that from a Russian military. Ooh, I can't believe that mass graves and rapes and stuff like that are happening. I hate to tell you this, but Russia, as far as leadership and military leadership, they've all been a band of ghouls. They've always been a band of monsters. They raped their way across Germany as the U.S. Joined forces to toss Hitler from power. And just as they're, you know, walking out the door, the Russians decided just rape and murder their way through Germany, commit all sorts of atrocities, because that's the way Russian leaders and Russian military members act generally. Here's Joe Biden yesterday saying that Vladimir Putin is a war criminal.
You may remember I got criticized for calling Putin a war criminal. Well, the truth of the matter, to show what happened to Vukovic, this warrants him. He is a war criminal. But we have to gather the information. We have to continue to provide Ukraine with the weapons they need.
But certainly not the planes that they really, really need. And then the weapons are going to be, you know, trickle in very slowly.
Continue the fight. And we have to gather all the detail so this can be an actual, have a war crime trial. This guy is brutal. And what's happening in Bucha is outrageous. And everyone's seen it.
Up to Allah.
No, I think it is a war crime.
Is it genocide? No, I think it's a war crime. Okay, well, genocide is a war crime. There you go. So I don't know what he's trying to do. He certainly isn't going to do anything substantive. He's not going to do anything to stop Vladimir Putin from doing anything. He's just going to check in. That's what he does. He just kind of checks in. Like I don't know if you knew this, there was a mass shooting in Sacramento Saturday night. Six people were killed. Six people of color were murdered by two other people of color. And one of them's in custody. And there was all sorts of call for gun control while the bodies were still laying in the street. I'm not kidding. And today, where is it? Where is it? But anyway, Elon Musk is set to become the biggest shareholder of Twitter. This is a pretty big deal. The iconic tech mogul purchased 9% in Twitter, about to become the largest shareholder, purchased 73.5 million shares valued at just under $3 billion, which, by the way, is pocket change for a man worth $275 billion. In a note to investor Dan Ives of Wedbush Securities, said he expects Musk's considerable, albeit passive, stake in the company to be the first step in Musk acquiring more of the company so that it can exert his influence over it. Now listen to this. In early March of 2018, Musk asked a federal judge to nullify a subpoena from the SEC regulator to throw out a 2018 agreement that Musk be required to have a third party pre-screen his tweets because, you know, he wanted to invest in the company. Musk's legal team is arguing that the SEC's subpoena has no basis in law, so he should be able to post. But some other things that are happening, he has said a lot about owning Twitter, and he's been questioning a lot of people about how they feel about Twitter. For instance, he lambasted Twitter not long ago in a speech saying that given that Twitter serves as the de facto public town square, failing to adhere to free speech principles fundamentally undermines democracy. What should be done? Is a new platform needed? Kind of interesting for a guy who just purchased how many millions of shares in Twitter? Musk did not immediately respond to requests for comment and hasn't yet made any public statements on his new ownership on Twitter, but he has actually said some things. For instance, he said the Babylon Bee, which is a conservative satire site, shared an article that was entitled Evil Fascist Dictator Censored and Voted Out of Office about Donald Trump. Musk, who has 80.3 million Twitter followers, responded, "A lot of people are going to be super unhappy with West Coast high tech as the de facto arbiter of free speech." He said, "This is an important decision." He said, "West Coast high tech has to make the distinction between banning hate speech and banning speech it hates." So he's going to do some stuff. Hey guys, it's Carson for Gold Co. I don't think I need to explain that we are in some very difficult times right now with Joe Biden as the president. Inflation and interest rates are Biden's only way out of our $28 trillion federal debt. So if you have $50,000 or more in your IRA, 401k or savings, your money is at risk. All right, learn more about the IRS loophole that thousands of Americans are using to protect their retirement. This is important. Call 855-735-3740. 855-735-3740 to get your free IRS loophole kit. That's right, 855-735-3740. And my friends at Gold Co. will give you up to 10% in free silver with a qualified account. Gold Co. has helped thousands of Americans protect their retirement against inflation, taxes, interest rates, bad presidents. Yeah, I said that out loud. So what are you waiting for? 855-735-3740. Call now. Hey, let's talk about the Hunter Biden laptop, which, you know, was a non-story to every media outlet. It was banned by Twitter and Facebook. And Joe Biden gets very, very defensive when he's confronted about the laptop and his son's work and enriching the Biden family by selling influence.
You said I set up my son to work in an oil company. Isn't that what you said? Get your words straight, Jack.
There's been no indication of any conflict of interest from Ukraine or anywhere else. Period. Let's focus on the problem. Focus on this man, what he's doing.
Guys, any crack addict who frequents, hires prostitutes, Hannah has a law degree, they can get into the tens of millions of dollars selling political influence. They don't need a vice president. Well, no, they do.
That no president has ever done.
You're a damn liar, man.
But that company wanted access to you.
Well, that's not true. You're saying things you do not know what you're talking about. No one said that. Who said that?
Who said that?
There is no controversy about my son. It's all a lie.
Yeah. Well, actually, it's coming into light, and your son is under investigation. Established media has reported on Hunter Biden's $4.8 million that he received in payments from a Chinese energy company, but not the alleged payout mechanism by which the Biden family likely profited from peddling influence. So that's what they're doing. They're covering the story, but they're saying there's no tie between Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. No, there's none. There's nothing there. There's no there there. I mean, sure, Hunter Biden may have gotten all this money and everything, but there's no there there, which makes no sense at all, because Hunter Biden is a worthless piece of crap. How could he suddenly be worth tens of millions of dollars to the Biden family unless he had very close ties, obviously, with his father as senator, vice president, and president? Why would he say things in text messages that say that he's been raising money for his family for 30 years and it's been very difficult? It's been very difficult for him. It is pretty interesting that the New York Times has come out. They've authenticated the Hunter Biden laptop, but now they're saying, oh yeah, but there's no connection. That's absurd on the face of it, by the way. Absurd on the face of it. And ultimately, the truth is going to come out, and the narrative is going to collapse around the Biden family. I predict that. I don't believe they're going to be able to cover this up. Most people don't believe the nonsense. Rush Limbaugh actually said this a couple years ago. My friend Chris Salcedo had a terrific conversation last night about the laptop. He also talked to Mike Huckabee about the laptop. And Rush Limbaugh, it being the soothsayer that he was. And just real quick, I haven't talked about Rush in a while. Rush Limbaugh had insights into politics that no one could ever possibly match again in history. He was brilliant, absolutely brilliant, with his pontifications about everything political. This is tape from December, a couple of months before he passed away. So December of 2020.
The fake news media will temporarily become...
God, it sounds good to hear his voice again. Let's hear it again from the top.
The fake news media will temporarily become hard news media if the decision is made that Biden has to step down. Until that time, they will be covering for Biden. They'll be making excuses for Biden.
Yeah, like he never had anything to do with his son's business deal. That's all Hunter.
Be ignoring all the negatives. You wait and see, and then watch what happens to their ratings when that happens.
Yeah, you know, by the way, corporate radio forgot that Rush Limbaugh even lived. I just wanted you to know that. They kind of forgot altogether that Rush Limbaugh ever graced a microphone. I haven't.
Wow. And folks, it's all playing out just as...
This is Chris Salcedo on Newsmax.
As Rush said, I'm convinced now more than I've ever been that elements within our own country a tyrannical minority are colluding with elements outside of our nation to bring our republic and our way of life to a screeching halt. They wish to replace our liberty and our freedom with their vision of a totalitarian paradise.
And we'll get into that a little bit later with regard to the southern border.
Which will be hell on earth if it's allowed to come to fruition. There needs to be a reckoning. From George Soros to Chris Wallace, from Barack Hussein Obama to Twitter, from James Comey to John Brennan. These architects, these agents in an American axis of evil who are orchestrating the attempted destruction of our people must pay a heavy price.
Their day of reckoning is coming, by the way. Here's Mike Huckabee, former Arkansas governor, talking about the laptop.
It just, again, doesn't make sense, but I don't know where to start with these folks on the left, particularly the media. They so carefully pick the stories they're interested in. They ignored the Hunter Biden laptop, which is not so much about Hunter. It's about the big guy and his 10% cut and the fact that he invited his son to fly on U.S. government jets at our expense.
And by the way, he forsook Secret Service protection while in China on a number of trips, that being Hunter Biden.
To go to China and make business deals while his pop was the vice president. If that doesn't smell of corruption, then nothing does.
Oh, it does worse than smell of corruption. You actually stepped in a big old pile of corruption with the Bidens, and it squished between your toes.
Then it all smells great, and skunks are a new scent that we'll put in a bottle and start wearing as cologne.
All right, so coming up, I've got a little bit more from Mr. Salcedo and Mr. Huckabee on this. 800-922-6680. We got this investigation going on at Hunter Biden, and it's about his business dealings and taxes, which is what the New York Times and other media are attempting to paint this as. But in the investigation, apparently the New York Post is reporting that one of the witnesses who have been questioned about who they believe the big guy was mentioned in email messages between Hunter Biden and the head of this energy company in China called CEFC China Energy. James Geller, a British business partner of Hunter's, outlined the proposed percentage distribution of equity in the company, and 10 was held for the big guy. Now, we know that Tony Bobulinski has said, yeah, they called him the big guy, and now apparently in this investigation, he's being asked who the big guy is. And ultimately, it's going to be shown that Joe Biden is the big guy. I saw an article, it's kind of interesting, by Jeffrey McCall of DePauw University, and I realized he was one of my broadcasting instructors when I was a freshman in college. And he went on to something good. I know, it's crazy. He says that news outlets acting as surrogates for the public owe it to the citizenry to fully investigate this story. Jeff must be like a real journalist or maybe even lean towards conservatism. I don't know. I don't want to ruin his career at DePauw because, you know, the universities are generally very left-leaning. But you'll notice that a surge of recent reporting by Hunter Biden by outlets that once widely dismissed and downplayed reports about him and the laptop have suddenly changed. Quote, federal investigation of Hunter Biden heats up, reads CNN on March 30th. Hunter Biden paid tax bill, but broad federal investigation continues. New York Times, inside Hunter Biden's multi-million dollar deals with a Chinese energy company, the Washington Post reported. All three stories invoke Hunter Biden's infamous laptop, first reported on with less than a month to go in the 2020 election by the New York Post. Pretty darn interesting stuff. In an astonishing display of coordination, Twitter and Facebook blocked or limited sharing of the New York Post article written about Biden. Twitter even locked the New York Post out of its account for weeks. And then after the election, Twitter banned Donald Trump. So it's clear that they were a cabal. It's clear that the cat is out of the bag. They're going to do their very best to make this sound like it was all Hunter Biden, when in fact, everybody knows the reason why Hunter Biden was able to parlay this much money from oligarchs around the world is because Daddy was a person of significant importance. Without Joe Biden, none of the millions happen. That's just the way it is. This is Mike Huckabee again from Chris Salcedo's shows last night on Newsmax. And everybody's questioning who's in charge. You look at Joe Biden, you look at his campaign, there's no way in hell he got 81 million votes. Nobody cared about him. Nobody came out to see his rallies. Meanwhile, there were literally convoys of vehicles 100 miles long to see Trump rallies. There were boat flotillas of 10,000 boats around the country. It was clear there was an overwhelming victory coming, and Joe Biden won. And the reason being, a lot of strings are being pulled. Here is Mike Huckabee talking about that.
It's amazing. It's frightening, but it makes the most sense of anything, because nothing else about Joe Biden, him getting elected, him just completely butchering the whole decision of Afghanistan, the foreign policy, energy, the border.
I think this would all point to ineptitude.
Everything he touches turns to dirt.
Wait a minute. Crap touch.
It makes perfect sense. It's like Rush Limbaugh was a prophet. And
yep. He was to some degree.
Unfortunately, a lot of the things that he was predicting, as you just outlined, Chris, it's very evident that this makes sense. It's the one rationale, because otherwise you scratch your head and say, how'd this guy get there? And more importantly, how is it that the left continues to support a person who has completely wrecked what was a very strong economy?
Now, it's interesting, because I believe a day of reckoning is coming. Because CNN now has a new big stakeholder in CNN who is tired of all of the nonsense from CNN, all of the lies, all of the cover-ups, all the left-wing nonsense. There will be wholesale firings and a return to journalistic integrity, if that's possible, from CNN. And now you've got Elon Musk now owning 9% of Twitter. This is pretty big. This is pretty big. And sooner or later, this house of cards is going to collapse, for lack of a better cliche. This domino will fall, and I think there's a lot of positives that are going to come out because of this. We have to hold those who perpetrated all of the lies and destruction accountable. One of my favorite sites of all time is Daily Caller. Kate Smyth is a columnist for that, and she is a, are you a millennial or are you a Gen Z? Kate Smyth, welcome to the Newsmax Hotline. How are you today?
I'm good, Rob. I'm good. And I guess, like, I'm technically, I would call myself, like, a mid to elder millennial, definitely not Gen Z. I still remember the landline. I still remember no internet. So, you know, I think that's where I fall.
I think you and I might have similar music tastes. I saw your post this morning about Evanescence and Korn coming back and touring again, because I'm kind of I'm a rock guy, but I enjoy my 90s rock. I enjoy my Soundgarden. Evanescence, always very theatrical, but I still enjoy that kind of music. How about you?
Oh, absolutely. And another band that I always loved was All That Remains. I think they kind of fall on our side of the political spectrum, at least a couple of them do. And I always loved System of a Down. Like, I had one. Great band.
Oh, yeah. And I believe they are, what are they? They are, I'm trying to remember where they're from.
Armenia.
Yes, they're Armenian. They are Armenian. So, yeah, System of a Down is really cool. I'm more of a Soundgarden kind of guy, Chris Cornell kind of guy. I still mourn the day he passed. But enough about music. Let's talk about politics. Let's talk about what's going on in the world today. I did just see your piece about Stacey Abrams and how she's gotten really, really very rich in the last few years. She was not worth a whole lot when she first ran for governor in 2018. What did you discover, Kate, with regard to Stacey Abrams?
Well, I think it's that kind of classic Democrat hypocrisy, like borderline communist propeller that these candidates go through. It's what I like to call the sort of like wealth of political celebrity. Yeah. So Stacey Abrams, gubernatorial candidate for Georgia, she was actually worth negative money when she first ran back in 2018. She was worth, I think she had $109,000 to her name, about quadruple that in various forms of debt from, you know, just sort of like lifestyle, credit cards, what have you. And, you know, at the time, a lot of Republicans were like, well, how are you going to run a state if you can't run your own home financially? Yes, and then in the last less than really 4 years, she's become a multimillionaire. And most of that was through books and through speeches, because she, like, the highest office she's ever held, Rob, is like minority leader for like the House in Georgia. Like, she's basically a nobody, but because she's got all of this celebrity around her,
yeah,
and she says all the sort of, like, woke progressive things that the lefties want to hear, she's managed to sort of milk that for all it's worth and become a multimillionaire. She was taking $700,000 she made from one of the groups that she worked for, which was supposed to be, like, the group was focused on financial empowerment for the South. And I'm like, the hypocrisy, the hypocrisy. it's literally laughable.
Yeah, yeah.
But this, you know, Bernie Sanders did the same thing. This is just what these, you know, like, I don't even want to call them woke. Like, let's call them what they are. Like, they're communists.
Yeah.
That's what these guys do. And it's a brilliant little trick they got going. Like, it's really smart.
Oh, yeah, it is. And you'll also notice this morning the headline is the three founders of Black Lives Matter bought a $6 billion mansion in L.A., and they did it so they could do YouTube videos, is what they did.
Oh, you are joking.
No.
I saw the headline about the houses. YouTube videos. Does anyone even watch YouTube anymore? Is that a thing?
You know, I've got a YouTube channel that has been severely restricted, and I've got some cooking videos on it, but I don't use it. I have my stuff on Rumble. There's a terrific article in the UK Daily Mail with regard to Black Lives Matter buying a $6 million mansion in L.A. This on top of the former communist headquarters they bought in Canada for $8 million. No money went to helping black people, of course, kind of like the Clinton Foundation. It just was there to enrich its founders, and that's what it did quite well. It's like both of the cancer charities that Joe Biden has been involved with. They just enriched the staff of the charity. So that's in the UK Daily Mail. But another interesting story I saw about Stacey Abrams, and you know that Dinesh D'Souza's new movie 2000 Mules is coming up, and they tracked cell phone pings for these people who were depositing massive amounts of votes into these Zucker boxes. Apparently, there were some of these mules who were taking breaks by going into the local DNC headquarters or by Stacey Abrams' headquarters. Then they would go back to the drop boxes. Now, I have said that the only thing that Stacey Abrams was really good at is cheating on elections. I think there was one reason why she came to Virginia and campaigned for Terry McAuliffe, and that is because she was in the state to see if she could throw the election. And that appearance was just her head popping out of the sand, because she'd been, I believe, and her minions were in the state of Virginia until Election Day. What are your thoughts on Stacey Abrams with regard to election theft?
Oh, I mean, I think it's, like, actually kind of funny, Raw, which is probably not the response you were thinking I was going to give. I mean, I just think it's so funny that she is clearly involved in some very suspect activities, very suspect. But what I love about Stacey Abrams clearly trying to steal elections is that she's not even good at it. Like, she didn't even do it successfully. She didn't do it for herself. She didn't do it for McAuliffe. It was laughable. And also, this is another big hypocritical thing about Abrams, is she has spent the entire time since she lost in 2018 saying that the election was stolen, and then she'll gladly call out Donald Trump for saying that his election was stolen. It's just a classic thing. It's like, it goes in with Marx, it goes in with everything that these progressive leftists push. It's rules for thee, but not for me. So they can do whatever they want, but the minute that they even, like, there's even a whiff of similar behaviors on the other side of the political spectrum, it's like they just release the hound.
I wanted to ask you about this, and I've got some theories, and I think dominoes are falling with regard to the mainstream media, big social media, and the Democrat Party, and all of the narratives that they have pushed on us for the last couple of years, everything from COVID to Russia collusion, to the point that we now know that Hillary Clinton's paying a fine for paying for a Russian dossier, which was Russian disinformation, paying for it. We also know that the Hunter Biden laptop story that was buried by social media, buried by the New York Times and other institutes to throw the election, those are dominoes that have fallen. I believe the next domino to fall, because I have copious evidence and the three aforementioned triumvirate of liars all say that my narrative is false when I know it's true, and that is the 2020 election. What are your thoughts on the election impropriety that occurred in 2020? I think that a lot of my conservative counterparts are terrified to say that it was stolen. I am not. What are your thoughts?
So, like everyone, I think, in America, I went to bed the night before, or the night of, I guess, the election.
Yes.
And Trump was winning. And then I woke up the next morning, and everything had changed. And people in politics don't really work that way. They're not a volcanic eruption. It's not like all of a sudden the entire world changes forever. That's not really how votes work. Personally, I'm gonna put my hand up and say something that a lot of young people, I think, don't say enough. I don't know. I really don't know. But given the exact track record that you just described, like all these dominoes are falling, all of these things that we were being called conspiracy theorists for are now coming to light as reality. And I would not, I mean, my gut feeling is completely aligned with your sentiment. I also think that the recall of Gavin Newsom was absolutely stolen. And that's, I had a wealth of people contact me. I used to live in California. I used to have a radio show out there. And a lot of people contacted me personally with some pretty terrifying stories of what went on during that recall election. And it was in that moment that I sort of started to think, oh, wow, this could have definitely happened during the presidential election. Like, if it's happening in California like this, why wouldn't it happen in what we call the general election?
But think about this. You think about this. The mainstream media, big social media, and the Democrat Party all started using, a couple of years ago, the word disinformation. And to me, that was a red flag that they wanted to shut you down because you knew the truth. So I truly believe, for instance, I know this is crazy, but I believe that there was a lab where they were experimenting on animals and animal viruses to weaponize them in Wuhan, China, and that's where the COVID pandemic came from. I believe it come from the lab, and all three of those entities all say that's misinformation. So you can understand where I might be a little dubious on their claims now that they're still standing by, like the election.
Absolutely. And, you know, my mindset started shifting a long time before I think I moved to America when I first heard, I'll watch like any kind of form of entertainment. And I remember, I think it was Alex Jones talking about, you know, there's an island of teenage prostitutes. And I had at that point third party and I was a model for like the first 25 years of my life. And so I knew women who were like very entrenched in that industry. And I was like, that's weird. I know a lot of women who have actually mentioned this place. I know a lot of women who have brought this stuff up in passing. And now here's this guy talking about it. And this entire demographic of people aren't. And I think the minute that like where there's smoke, there's fire, right?
Yes,
and so
yes.
I think I completely agree with you. I absolutely, truly believe that COVID was developed in a lab.
Of course.
There's another part of me that thinks, like, they developed COVID in a lab. Why didn't they? And I hate to say this, I've had family members who've gotten very sick from COVID. But yes. Wouldn't you have made it a far more dangerous disease to actually, you know, like, create real fear around it rather than just this sort of, like, mass governmental overreach and manipulation? But yeah. I personally think at this point only really still affects the sort of, like, coastal woke elite. And so it sort of like plays back into what I was saying about Stacey Abrams. You know, even though the Democrats clearly have these mass manipulation tactics that they exploit, not just here in America, but all around the world, they lie about these huge, huge issues and stories, like whether we're talking about, you know, the lab leak theory, the 2020 election, even down to, you know, everything that was going on with Jeffrey Epstein. You know, they lie about it, but they're not good at executing it in a way that makes us ever trust them. And so that's almost like a source of hope for me, right? These guys are headless chickens who cannot control the narrative for that long, because I think that, you know, the American people are some of the smartest people in the world. And I think that, you know, we've got this like crazy idea here called freedom. I don't know if you've heard of it. I think that sort of freedom really does play into our thoughts. So when I moved from California to North Carolina, I finally started to surround myself with people who think like you and I, Rob. It's only really in these major cities where people are still able to be manipulated by the sort of lie of disinformation.
All right, listen, Kate, we've got to run. I apologize for that. I have greatly enjoyed having you on today. Would love to have you on again to not only talk about politics, but pop culture. I like to cross that line every once in a while because I don't just like talking about the Sunday morning talk shows. I get a little tired of it. So I greatly appreciate it. You can find you, and it's Smythe, S-M-Y-T-H-E. You are Kay Smythe on Twitter. You're also on the Daily Caller. You got a lot of great things there. Kay, really, really appreciate you joining me on the show, and I hope to have you on again soon.
Absolutely, Rob. Thank you so much, and God bless. This has been so much fun.
Thanks for listening to the Newsmax Daily with Rob Carson. Check your cable guide or NewsmaxTV.com. Or watch free on YouTube, Roku, Apple, Pluto, Zumo, Amazon Fire, and your smart TV. Newsmax, America's fastest growing cable news channel. Check NewsmaxTV.com for details.